welcome to Dual World in episode 12. I guess for trademark reasons, we're going to say it's on, like, Donkey Kong Returns Edition. I don't think Nintendo has the full sentence, but joining me this week is Daniel.
Yay!
And stealing him from Nerds on the Rocks is Dylan.
Hello.
I guess this is our international incident because we are represented by Europe, America's Yay. Hat, and the United States.
America's Hat, eh?
So I guess we can get started. Daniel, what are you paying? And please do not tell me you're still paying Black Ops.
Well, I'm going to say this, right? I played Assassin's Creed 2 for like 10 minutes on the PC, and I gave up instantly on it. More on that later. I have been playing Black Ops, or in this case this week, I have been trying to play Black Ops because Treyarch's magical fix of the PC version broke the PC version. And I've been playing New Vegas, and I've actually gotten less confused with the story because I found it at the point I was at, it was really confusing.
Speaking of, it seems like Black Ops has been having problems across the board because there was news of them
also
doing it.
Also on PC.
But
well,
yeah,
no, because patches on the 360 were just general things, but the PC version, it's been in a bad state.
I mean, it's so bad that apparently they're even patching the Wii version of the game, so.
How are they doing that?
You can patch Wii software.
How are you defying the laws of anything and patching a Wii game?
You can patch Wii games. Nintendo chooses to do that. Yeah, I didn't say Nintendo chose to do that thing. But you have to realize most of this stuff, I guess.
If you can patch Wii games, why haven't Nintendo patched Other M yet?
I was about to say, I think most of it is online, and I think it's more server-side issues than it is like anything on your end.
The bugs I call Bungie fixes.
Yeah, because like that's what I think that's what the Conduit tool is doing as well, is that the fixes won't be like you download patches. It's going to be stuff I guess they change on the network itself. So I guess you can pick one of your free games. And what have you been enjoying about New Vegas? I guess
I like the exploring in New Vegas is actually a lot better, I have to say, because in Fallout 3 it was a case of, oh, you've got a quest in the middle of Washington, D.C., and you think, oh, no, I'm going to have to go through 10 different underground subway stations. I'm going to get lost a few times on the way there. Whereas New Vegas, it's easy to see where you're going because you just walk there.
Okay. Who has their Skype sound on? but okay, and Black Ops, I assume you're still just enjoying because you like to support the little company.
I'm enjoying going into editing the config and trying to change every little value to get the game to work.
Well, I mean, who can be asked to make sure a game works properly on release date when you can make $650 million in 4 days?
This is insane. The worst thing is when, like, I'm gonna just talk about this now, quickly. In the patch notes 2 days ago were CPU optimizations, which means the game works better. I had my frame rate halved, which means the game works worse. It doesn't make any sense. How can you make a game work better but have the opposite effect? God.
it's a magical touch. You don't understand. You just don't understand.
It's funny because Yesterday I was talking to a friend and I was like, oh, I'll get the PC version, I say. It will be better, I say. And here I am 2 weeks after release, still not being able to play
it. Well, I'm sure your friend's laughing at you now. I guess he was nice enough to get the PC version.
A couple of my friends have the PC version as well.
Because of you?
Not because of me. I bought the PC version because of them.
Oh, okay. Well,
I blame them.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know who to complain to. Just point finger and say it's your fault. I would have been enjoying this on my fabulous new 360.
Although I have to admit, I looked at the 360 version and it looked like graphically it was pretty bad. But that's to be expected.
The Call of Duty games get away with a lot of stuff. If I'm not mistaken, none of them actually run in high def.
No, they don't. That's how they reach 60 frames a second.
Yeah, and people, you know, people never care because to them it looks great, but it's kind of, it's one of those things where I always think that's why 720p and 1080p are such a minor.
They play Call of Duty for K2D and not for the actual game playing or looking good.
Yeah, so, and even the gameplay is kind of iffy. Yep. So, what about you, Dylan? What have you been playing this past week?
Well, I'm too poor to get Black Ops right now, so...
You're not missing out, no?
Yeah, so I've heard.
Well, if you get it in like February, that's when you can play online to people, so you'll be good by then.
Yeah. I've been playing a bit of Halo Reach again. Rock Band 3 still. I'll put that in every couple days or so, play a few set lists.
Is Rock Band 3 the new one or the old one? I can never keep count.
3 is the new one this year.
Oh, so you're one of the few people who actually bought it.
What, yeah, apparently.
The 30,000 people who bought it?
Yeah, I think the problem with that is that music games are expensive.
Yeah, yes, they are. And it has never, ever made sense to do them. Not even nearly at this point. Most of them are kind of...
Activision seemed to get away with it. Somehow.
No, they didn't. There was a charge.
Well, they didn't. No, I suppose.
The profit drop for music games is a 1/10 of what it was 2 years ago this year.
I think if they just made it so, like, did like a DJ Hero approach to it, so you get release the peripheral with the first game, and then just make sequels that use the same peripherals, and that's it, and just add new features to the game, that's it. People will buy the games. But
they kind of did that because, I mean, it's not like you... I mean, I assume Rock Band 3 is different, maybe, but if you had Rock Band 1, you could get Rock Band 2, you can get Rock Band The Beatles, and you wouldn't have to get new instruments. You could buy the game by itself.
Yeah, but I think the problem is this pro guitar stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I say with Rock Band 3. I think it's different. I think the biggest issue, and it's always been one of those ones that just was really stupid, is that with the Rock Band store and the Guitar Hero store, it never made sense for you to buy, because, you know, you get a year of, like, you know, 3 songs a week, 5 songs a week, or whatever, and then it's like, oh, you know, we're not going to put in any more songs, so you have to buy this version for $60 if you want new music.
And then you have to pay, God, what is it, $5 to get the game, all the songs from the previous game and
yeah.
New.
Yeah, and it's like nickel and dime in your fans. It's like when you have a good thing, just kind of keep it weird, because it never benefited from the sequel, because it has no, it's not changing the gameplay, it's just different music. And that's like the laziest thing to do. It's like having a book where you just kind of add a chapter to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, not to go on that rant, but how are you enjoying Rock Band 3?
Pretty fun, you know, I mean... It's not that different. My brother's bought it. He hasn't been able to find the pro guitars or the keyboard or whatever it is yet.
So you don't even actually need them for the game.
Yeah, no, you don't. If you just want to play guitar and drums or whatever, then you can. But I want to try pro guitar and keyboard, but no store in the area has had them, and it's been a couple weeks, so that's kind of getting on my nerves.
Well, that's kind of weird, because we know it's not selling out, so...
Yeah.
they're just not mass-producing them.
The day it came out, I was, like, looking at EB Games, it's GameStop Canada, but the store's name is actually EB Games for some reason. I was looking on their website or Twitter, and they just got their shipments for, like, the 360 version Pro Tires, and then, like, the Wii ones weren't supposed to come out till like, mid-November, and I don't know what happened. Apparently, they didn't think it was going to sell, so they didn't bother sending any out here.
Well, it won't sell if you don't think it's going to sell.
Yeah, that's always been a problem with a lot of games this generation, is that people make them and it's like, oh, it's not going to sell, we'll just put them out there.
I think the only time that people thought it wouldn't sell and it did sell was probably the first Phoenix Wright, when Capcom kept running out of copies.
And what's it called? It's also, I think Just Dance is another example of a game.
Maybe.
Kind of was like nobody was expecting it. I've never even heard of it until it started showing up on MPDs in like January. And it's like one of those games where, you know, like one or two people bought it. It was fun. So, you know, and it spirals. But, yeah, for the most part, people just kind of put games out there. Like, I don't remember seeing any type of commercial for Vanquish or Castlevania or Enslaved. But, you see, that's a bit different, though, because that's just a compilation. So I assume the fans would kind of know. I don't think you're going to get many new people to buy it.
I think that's the problem. I'm not going to start a whole new discussion here, but I'm going to just say that that's the problem with Activision. If it's not Call of Duty or Guitar Hero, they will not advertise it, and nobody buys it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Activision.
They put out both Bond games in 1 week, and, like... I don't think they really expected Bloodstone to sell compared to GoldenEye, and they didn't even like bother
advertise,
with
it. They didn't advertise. I never actually saw any highly publicized trailers for it, whereas I saw them for GoldenEye.
Yeah.
The Activision.
Which is kind of interesting.
And they go and close down or sell or whatever their developers.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand why they've made some really terrible decisions with their games, but at the same hand, it's been three games and they haven't really been selling that great. I mean, it's both of their faults because VR came out with the same, 2 weeks before Split Second and Mod Nation Racer.
That was Activision's decision, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm saying it's not that Activision has been helping them.
Activision's been the reason why they need to sell them.
But on the same hand, would anybody have? I do own VR and I do own Bloodstone. I own Bloodstone. I guess that can transition to what I've been playing because I got rid of Bloodstone this morning in order to get Donkey Kong Country Returns. I don't sell games that often, but I beat the game and I'm like, I'm never gonna touch this again. Like, it's not even like one of those games where I'm gonna go back and like one day I'm gonna crave it. It's just I'm done and I'm never gonna touch it again ever.
I guess that leads into what you've been playing.
Yeah, I've been playing Donkey Kong. Well, I haven't got much time onto Donkey Kong Country Returns because I had to do these podcasts, but I've completed the first world of the game, and so far it's a solid platformer, and I know how much Daniel hates it, but right now my biggest issue is actually the motion controls. And it's not so much that they're bad, it's just that you basically shake, and it does three different things. If you shake when you're running, you do a barrel roll, or a roll.
Yeah.
If you shake while you're standing still, you do a ground pound. And if you shake while you're crouching, you throw stuff. The problem is that sometimes it might trigger something else when you're shaking. And I find that shaking to do the roll isn't as effective as just... I would have preferred... One of the few times I would have preferred if it was just like a button.
I think that's the problem, is shaking is not specific enough at all.
Yeah. Like, it works well in Super Mario Galaxy and New Super Mario Bros. Wii, but for some reason it doesn't work that well in this game.
I think they should. That's the problem. I don't think developers use gestures enough. There's a difference between gestures and shaking.
Yeah, and I think that's where people get the term waggle from. And this is kind of it, where it's like, oh, we're just gonna do this for everything in the game. And I wouldn't mind if it was ground pound and Brion, which so far Brion really is kind of Lucius in this game.
Yeah,
but the whole thing with like its motion, its ground pound, its roll, and its throwing is just kind of off-putting. I mean, I've been having fun with it. I've completed the first world, like I said. It's a interesting game, especially being that you don't get the Diddy Kong throughout the course of the game. You have to find him.
Oh,
you do.
Yeah, because I know, I mean, like, in the original, you had, you know, like, if he got Yoshi, you had to find him in a barrel or whatever.
Kind of like Yoshi in Super Mario World, is it?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like, if you beat a stage with Diddy Kong, you get Diddy Kong in the next stage or whatever. But if you die, you don't get him back. You have to find him again. And it's actually kind of funny because you get to ride rhinos. So you get a Donkey Kong riding a rhino with Diddy Kong riding Donkey Kong. So it's like a rhino gorilla. And it's kind of a funny sight. So, and I it has some really nice looking stages. I'm sure you've seen the trailers with like the shirts stages.
I saw a video review and they did look pretty good actually. But we're talking about retro here and they do make good looking games even for the Wii.
Yeah, retro's actually the biggest reason I got this game because I've said it before, I'm not the hugest fan of Donkey Kong Country, but Retro Studios, I just have so much faith in them after
the Metroid.
Games that I had to, because I don't expect anything bad from them, and so far this game gets that. There are a lot of collectibles. It's not so bad that it's like a rare game. I mean, really had the terrible tradition of collectathons, but you have to spell Kong in each stage, and then each stage has a varying level of puzzle pieces. So far I've seen anywhere from 5 to 7, I think.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, and then you get banana coins, which you use to buy stuff at Funky Kong, Cranky Kong shop. So you get the Kong, the puzzle pieces, the banana coins, and bananas, and then you collect balloons for your lives.
So, these are all per level, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to collect the you know, like the banana coins. You don't. It's not like if you go through it. It's like the I don't know what's the comparison. I don't really know what you would say in a Mario game, but yeah, the bananas serve as like coins at Sonic or in Mario.
Well, the red coins. The coins serve as like the red coins.
The red coin, the red coins. You see, the reason I was gonna say it doesn't serve like the red coins is because usually with the red coins, once you collect all of them, they don't come back. That's not true either, I guess. I guess the red coins would be
The bigger coins, because you get in the newer Mario's, you get bigger coins, don't you?
See, that's
and
right.
They're in hard to reach places.
The puzzle pieces are like the big coins in Mario. All right. Where once you collect them, you could see like where it was, but you can't collect them more than once in a stage. But like the banana coins, you can go back if you die and you play it again, you still collect them and it still counts. So like say you get collect 10, you die, you collect 10 again, you still get 20.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah, that's what I've been playing, and I've been playing a little bit of Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, and because I love Activision so much, yeah, and I was playing the game. I was playing as Spider-Man Noir, which I really hate in that game, to be honest.
I did see a lot of reviews, and it's like, yeah, it just tried to be Batman Arkham Asylum again.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem with it is it's a really poor man's Arkham Asylum, where, like, you know, like how in Arkham Asylum, like, there are sometimes you have to be specific when you want to take somebody down, but he can do it. It's like you have to be, one, the person can't be hurt, and two, they have to have their backs turned to you. So like if you take a lead on them, you have to wait until they walk past you. You can't do it when they're facing you. So you know, like in Arkham Asylum, like Batman, yeah, like you can do it when they're walking towards you if you're over top them, you know, stuff like that. With this, it's like you have to be in a specific angle, and it's really annoying when you're trying to, like, if there's two of them, you're trying to take out one, and you have to, you know, you're trying to wiggle on their wall or something, and like it's not working, it won't activate because he's either semi looking at you or something like that, and it's stupid. And then I got a glitch where I fell into a part of the stage and couldn't get out, so I turned it off and I haven't played it since.
Nice.
So I think, I mean, that should do it for what we've been saying this week. So we shall see you on the other side. And welcome back, and I guess we shall get to the big news of this week. And we're going to start with news that's so dear and near to Daniel. Has been delayed until April. Thoughts on that?
I like how Valve were just like, we're announcing the shortest delay in Valve history. As if to say that's a good thing.
I was also going to say that's, I mean, I don't know how long the delays are, but that's also kind of technically, since it's the second delay this game has suffered. Because it was originally coming out this November.
No, then they delayed it to February.
Yeah. So this is the second time the game's been
there.
Yeah. So,
but here's something that I saw on Twitter the other day, is that now Duke Nukem Forever is coming out before Portal 2.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just typical of Valve. That doesn't surprise me. They did that on purpose, I bet you.
Even more is that people are saying, I don't know if you've, I don't think it's true because that doesn't look anything like it, but people are saying like, Valve is teasing Left 4 Dead 3 for the VGA Awards. It doesn't look like it.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not after last time.
It doesn't look like the Left 4 Dead thing, but it would be ironic if 3 Left 4 Dead games came out before Episode 3 even got announced. So, I could just see you snapping at that point.
I would not buy Left 4 Dead 3 either.
I
would not say that now, but I will buy it eventually.
I'm not going to support Valve in there. But yeah, you know, when it's cheap and I have time, I'll get it.
I think the main problem with Left 4 Dead 2 was is they put No Mercy from the original Left 4 Dead in it. And I thought, yeah, let me play it. It's going to be different. It's going to feel different because obviously it's a different game. And it felt no different. And that's what pissed me off.
Oh, I haven't played No Mercy. I haven't played it since they got that patch or the downloadable content. Actually, should get it. What is it? Is it the pass? No, it's the crossing?
The sacrifice.
There we go.
So you weren't even close.
How? I said the passing, which was
the
original.
For that.
Yeah. So I was semi-close. I just didn't remember the name of it. So how is that? Did you play that?
Yeah, I have all the DLC for Left 4 Dead 2. On both platforms.
Oh, okay. How much is it?
$560.
Okay. That's such an odd... What is that, $7?
Something like that.
I really wish they would just give price values, but whatever.
Yeah.
I guess moving on to other days is coming from Ubisoft, who pretty much said anything they had coming out this year with Driver and Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Well, okay, they semi-delayed Ghost Recon Future Soldier because the Atrocious free version's out in stores now. And I don't even know why they called that Future Soldier. It's a, from what reviews said, it's a really awful rail shooter, which at this point is kind of sad because everybody else is making rail shooters on the Wii. You should know how to make a good one by now.
I wouldn't think it would be hard either.
You would, but apparently Ubisoft screwed it up somehow.
Well, yeah, but we are talking about the company who demonstrated a non-video game at a video game event.
Speaking of that, and this is something I've been... Where are those games?
If they're dead, then good.
Yeah, I don't mind if they're dead. It's just that they wasted like half of the E3 conference on Energy, which is that breathing game. And then they had the laser
That's
tag
not a game.
Game.
Oh, man. Yeah, which the laser tag
game.
Yeah, and they wasted half of the E3 conferences on both of those, and they have not mentioned either since then.
Maybe so because everybody knows that it's awful, just like Nintendo and its... Wii Vitality Sensor.
Yeah.
To be fair, we have to, Nintendo hasn't shown anything yet, so they can still surprise you. I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie and say I'm not a huge Nintendo fan, but, I mean, if you had thought about it, the balance board wouldn't have seemed as compelling without Wii Fit, and I'm not gonna, I don't think it's very compelling with in other regards, but...
The balance board and the Wii Fit were designed for each other, whereas, and they announced them both at the same time, whereas with Wii Vitality Sensor, like, yeah, we've got this...
Well, I assume they have software to back it up. They just haven't announced it yet.
And that was E3 2009?
Yeah. I honestly don't predict what Nintendo's going to do anymore. They could shelve it for all we know.
Back on the subject of Ubisoft, they're delaying their games. And they announced that their revenue was lower, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised because if they keep shoveling out the crap that they are, then nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah, I don't ever realize why people haven't got that yet. Like, we don't know why our games aren't selling. What have they released this year other than Splinter Cell?
Assassin's Creed 2.
Well, that was Assassin's Creed 2 is after the would be this, you know, because that was just this past week. But yeah,
and the problem with Assassin's Creed 2 is Hawks 2
apparently didn't
hit
their expectations.
That was December, I think.
The problem with Ubisoft. Ubisoft's revenues are down, and I know, and this because this is Ubisoft, they'll just go, people are pirating our games, and the reason why people pirate their games is because their games are shit. And I'm going to sound like I don't know how I'm going to sound, but I played Assassin's Creed 2 on the PC as I mentioned, and I don't know if either of you played it, but. It does this little tutorial thing where it teaches you what the buttons do by, like, your dad is holding Ezio in his hands as he's
playing. Oh, yeah, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. And it says, press A to move your left foot, right? So it says that on the PC version. It says press, and then it says, it's got, like, this green circle, so it means A.
And wow.
This green circle has a foot on it, and I'm like... So what button is that? And so I'm clicking and it does nothing. And it does something. It was like he's wailing his hands around. And I'm like, oh, I don't want that. And I press Q and W. And I'm just pressing every key on the keyboard. And it doesn't work until something happens. And I press the right key. And then it says, press red circle with a fist in it to throw your right hand. And I'm like, do I have to do this again? I got past that bit, and then the thing in the top left-hand corner that tells you what buttons do when, it's got foot, fist, other fist, head, and I'm like, I don't even know what these keys are. So every time I want to do something, I have to go back into the options menu and look at the controls.
I was going to say, I don't even know. Does that translate into the game? I don't.
It does for the most part, but you need to know what the buttons are instead of just saying space, shift, control, mouse one. It says foot. I mean, if you just like slap a console game onto a PC and don't even bother making it so it displays the keys in the right places, then people aren't going to buy your game.
LCD. Most common denominator.
Like, there are console ports on PC, and, you know, that's just a fact of life now, because more people own consoles than play games on PC. And for the most part, I'm fine with it. But all that you need to do is tell me what controls are where on the game, instead of just saying, press the green button. All my keys on my keyboard are black. What's the green button? You know. If you shovel shit just like that onto a PC and then slap the worst DRM possible, people are not going to buy your game.
Now, how is it you say that, but whenever I bring up that argument with Wii games, you always get offended?
Huh?
We've had this discussion with Ubisoft on the Wii before, and their pets and my English language coach or something like that. And you were saying like how people complain because, you know, Ubisoft are making these games for the Wii, but it's the same crap, different console.
It's crap for different reasons. Because I'm sure Assassin's Creed 2 is a good game, but the fact that you didn't bother to put the game on the platform properly.
But at that point, I assume most of their money comes from the 360 and PS3 versions. And
I moan about the Black Ops being unoptimized and not working on PC, but when it's working, you can see that it's not just a console port. You can see they actually put some effort into the PC version, besides the fact that it doesn't work.
Okay. Well,
so I just don't understand it.
Since we are talking, since you mentioned Black Ops.
And then they just turn around and it's like, oh, we're losing money. Oh, people just pirate the games. Oh.
Yeah, I don't worry. But to be fair, people pirate games good or bad, so I don't think it's the quality of the game that matters. But yeah, I guess briefly, since you mentioned Black Ops and I wanted to touch on this, is that Activision is taught in the fact that Call of Duty Black Ops has sold, 650 million worldwide in the first 5 days, setting a new entertainment record. I really hate that comparison, though, because if the time a movie ticket costs is $60, you can make a fair comparison.
Yeah.
And the time a movie can last you, 20, 30 hours and...
That may be the case, but it's, you know, it's not the... You're still having more people see it. Harry Potter made $125 million. That's more impressive, I think, than saying $650 million.
Well, considering Harry Potter would have to get more sales to reach that than Modern Warfare 2,
which is my point, though. It's like $650 million is just saying it's a number.
Say every ticket is $10 to reach $150 million, that's $150,000 people, isn't
it? Which is what my point with the comparison is that it's not one to one. Just because you get that, especially with Call of Duty, where you have like the $60 version, $80 version, and the $150 version.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people probably went out and bought the $150 version.
Or if you're really sad, and I know some Twitter people, and I hope they don't listen to this, who bought the Prestige Edition to keep, and then they bought a normal edition to pay.
Really?
Why would you do that?
I do not know. But yeah, there are people who did that. So there are special fans.
Oh my god! If I'm going to buy a game twice, I at least want it on different platforms.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy a game twice. Well, I'm not going to say I haven't bought a game twice, but it makes no sense to buy a game that's 2 weeks old twice.
Hey, look, I'm already considering to get a 360 copy of Black Ops.
Oh my gosh! You know, for somebody who really dislikes the franchise.
I don't dislike the franchise.
You dislike the Activision.
No, so I like the games.
Well, I guess...
Considering I didn't even pay myself for Modern Warfare 2, and I bought World of War used, that means I haven't bought a Call of Duty game since 2007.
But you had them. I mean, it's still kind of the same thing. It's like, I didn't buy them with my money, but somebody gave it to me. I might have asked for it for Christmas, but, you know, they held it up. They put a gun to my head. Take this game or else. But since we are talking about everybody's favorite video game company, news broke this week that Activision, and we touched on this briefly, is doing something with Bizarre Creations. I think they said they had 90 days to figure it out, but it's either they're selling it, they're dumping it, but they're getting rid of it in some fashion.
Yeah.
We touched on it briefly with the fact
that... I read somewhere that Codemasters was interested, and I was like, that is the most suitable company ever, because Codemasters make racing games.
Yeah.
That was going to be... I guess the other thing is, like, they've made 3 games on the Activision, I could be mistaken. And only one of them has been a racing game.
Yeah, but Bizarre Creations were known around most popularly for Project Gotham Racing.
No, that's my point, though. It's like, if you buy a racing studio and you don't have to make racing games, it just seems like you're... It's like if you bought Bungie and had them make a puzzle game.
Hey, yeah, that would be the best damn puzzle game ever.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be. But yeah, it's like,
actually,
you know,
no, it won't, but...
Pay to your strength and not to some random, oh yeah, we'll give them the Bond license, which, you know, it would have been better if they had a studio who made third-party games.
I think Bizarre, from look, I mean, I can't say really because I haven't played it, but it looks like Bizarre did an alright job. It could have just used polish.
It could have used, it's an okay game. It's not anything special, which I think is the biggest problem with it.
I think what would have been better is if Activision had just used another studio for the game and just had them focus on the driving levels. Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest, because I'm sure Activision has people who make third-person shooters or whatever.
Have the people that made High Moon, I think it was, that made War for Cybertron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's actually what EA did with Everything or Nothing, is that one team worked on the core game, and then the driving section was based off of the Need for Speed engine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a good game.
So. Yeah. I think because this game kind of shows their fault as, like, there are some things that are just kind of eh about the game and just design. Like, the melee isn't really, it's not a real melee system. You run up to a guy, press X, and Bond does some fancy move, and that's it.
Yeah, it's like a really, Quantum game.
Yeah, there's really no risk or reward in it other than the fact that you might be being shot by like, 2 people. But you do a melee, you get a focus aim, you can use that to take care of somebody else, and you clear the room already, so.
And the focus aim, like, is that really necessary for it at all?
I actually like the focus aim.
It was a good idea. It looks like a good idea. I mean, it kind of suits.
Yeah. They had something like that in Commercial with the Up and Everything or Nothing called Bond Vision.
But that was... This feels like they're just kind of ripping off Splinter Cell and other things.
I can see that, but I think it helps. Like I said, that's one of the things that I think the game got really right, is that the feel of being James Bond and going into a room and like, taking out 2 people with your fist and then using your gun to dispatch the rest of the people who are too far away.
I think had the focus aim not been there, nobody would take anybody out with the fists.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes Bond not Bond, because Bond does take people out hand-to-hand as well.
Yeah, it would be a generic... I think, and that's the same thing I was saying with GoldenEye last week, is that you can go around shooting stuff, but it's wiser to get it and just kind of sneak around people and take them out that way. Because that's what Bond does. I mean, he's not a super soldier. He does awesome stuff, but he isn't a super soldier. Speaking of super soldiers, and this is a really rough transition, I have to say, Zero and She-Hulk were confirmed for Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and that is dated for February 2011. Is anybody excited?
I'm excited for the game, but I don't really care that they're going to be in it.
Yeah, I think Zero just kind of, it's like everybody's just waiting for Mega Man to be announced, because he hasn't been announced, correct?
I don't think he has, yeah.
But, I mean, and I assume that has to be a no-brainer. Not even Capcom's that screwed up.
We hope.
You hope. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited.
Should be in that game.
Is he not?
I would buy it if he is.
Isn't he in Tatsunoko versus Capcom?
I can't. I don't know. I don't think so. It wouldn't make much sense considering all Phoenix Wright does is point at people and shout.
Well, I mean, they somehow got Falcon to work in Smash Bros.
I don't know.
If
they were to put him in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I would probably end up buying the game but not playing it because I don't play fighting games.
I personally buy it. I buy them anyhow. I'm not that great at fighters, but I just love the characters. And it's one of those games where you press buttons and it always makes you feel like you're doing something important. Because you press a bunch of random buttons and then something big happens on screen and you get like, your power move going and it just looks awesome.
That's why I got out of that. That's actually that's where I got all my kicks from Bayonetta.
Yeah, Bayonetta seems like the type of game where it's like, you know, you might not be doing it right, but it makes it look like you're doing it awesome.
Yeah.
And sometimes style's all you need.
Yeah. And that was the main reason why I could never play that game on normal, was because I would get my ass kicked, because you actually need to know what you're doing on normal.
Yeah.
And I'm just pressing X, Y, X, Y, X, Y, X, Y, and then awesome stuff happens and tells me to mash X for a bit, and so I'm mashing X.
Does anybody care that LEGO announced a LEGO Pirates of the Caribbean?
Is it a LEGO Star Wars game? No. Do I care? No. Although I don't care for the latest one either, actually. The latest LEGO Star Wars.
Is that
the Clone Wars?
I haven't cared about a LEGO game in a long time.
It's kind of, because at this point, I mean, it's like they just brought the LEGO brand to anything. We're going to have a LEGO game soon.
At least, the only wise sort of LEGO games they brought out were the Star Wars and Harry Potter ones, because at least then they've got a lot of stuff in there.
The Batman one. Oh, I've only played the DS one, but I like that.
I just think that because Star Wars and Harry Potter have a lot to bring to the table, because Harry Potter has a lot, what, 7 books?
Yeah.
Books.
I would say Batman has, what, 70 years of stories to pull from?
Yeah, but how many times has Batman been rebooted or changed and stuff?
Yeah, which is my point, though. It's like you can, if you really wanted to, LEGO could play around with all those different generations of Batman and you get different stuff. You'll get, like, a dark...
Imagine LEGO Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, which is my point. Just compare, like, Arkham Asylum, LEGO Batman, and even Batman Brave and the Bold. 3 different games, 3 different complete takes on the same character.
Yeah.
And that's just from 3 games. Just imagine if LEGO had taken that route and just decided, like, we'll do, you know, like, you can do a 30s Batman, a 40s Batman, a 50s Batman.
I don't think that would work for a LEGO game, because it's all about being silly and nobody can speak. And
which, again, if that's the case, they could have done an Adam
West Batman.
Being
a collectathon.
Yeah.
Or Brave and the Bold type Batman, but...
An Adam West or Brave and the Bold probably worked really well.
Yeah, but I think that was before Brave and the Bold debuted, so that wouldn't have worked anyhow with the timing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it could have worked if they had known about it and they tied it into the launch of the series. But
even still, they could have just done Adam West, which is similar enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there anything else you folks want to talk about? Is anybody excited for the VGAs if they announced their nominees this year?
Well, but every one of their nominees has got somebody shooting somebody in the face.
Yeah.
And now I really want to know how their nominees were picked, but...
Does this Super Mario Galaxy 2, does this have guns in it? No, well, it's not going on the list.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, it's not only is it the highest reviewed game this year, but I think it's one of their best reviewed games this year. So it's kind of weird that it didn't get a nod.
Wait, did you say that Valve is announcing something at the Spike VGAs?
No, I said that there was an image of an announcement and people thought that to be Left 4 Dead 3.
What?
Not that it's necessarily Valve.
Actually, I am excited, sort of, because wasn't there a thing earlier where BioWare said they're announcing something at it?
BioWare's announcing something. They're going to have the first trailer for Arkham City. And then, see, that's the thing, though. The VGAs aren't about the awards. It's all about, ooh, shiny new games.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, like, Arkham City was the highlight of last year, or Arkham Asylum 2, or whatever it was called at the time.
Yeah. The thing is, I think the awards are crap. I don't know their criteria. Because, like... And I'm not going to vouch
for
it.
Who votes for them?
Yeah, that's the other thing is, I don't know who votes for them, and I don't know their time frame, but the fact is that Gran Turismo 5 isn't up for Game of the Year, but it somehow fits into the... I don't think Gran Turismo 5 is in any award category, but Donkey Kong Country Returns is, and they both come out... Like Donkey Kong Country Returns comes out Sunday, and Gran Turismo 5's out on Tuesday, so...
This is why I'm glad that we have the Golden Joysticks, because, you know, we vote on them.
Yeah.
And... When you look at to vote, although you may think, hang on, why is this game being included? Because it was released ages ago. Because I swear this year's Golden Joysticks had ODST up. But, at least we know that we vote for them.
Yeah,
yeah.
The only thing though, is it becomes a popularity contest. Oh, Black Ops is awesome, you know, because if you think about it, if you're playing the numbers, there are like 10 million Black Ops fans, and it's like... 30,000 Vanquish fans.
Well, of course, so a lot of Black Ops players know about golden joysticks or wouldn't put down the controller.
Yeah, that's also true, but I'm, you know, just saying. So, I mean, is there anything else you folks want to touch on this week as far as news goes?
I just want to quickly say about Ghost Recon being delayed. So when I bought the Splinter Cell game, it came with this like thing that's basically like, hey, you can play the Ghost Recon beta in the summer. And the summer happened, no beta, so I figured something was up. And I'm wondering now if I'll still get in the beta for it. If
it's, you should probably ask them. At this point, yeah. I don't even think they're going to do a beta, but you should ask them.
Oh, this is the old, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if they was like, what beta? We didn't mention a beta.
I have the picture here.
Well, actually, I can find the code right now, or the little voucher. I
mean, nice.
It'd be funny, like, you hanging onto your little voucher for the Ghost Recon beta and stuff, until it comes out. It's like, where's my beta?
Yeah, here it is. Beta VIP access coming fall, well, it says Future War coming fall 2010, and then...
It's winter now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, it's still fall. I think winter doesn't start until December or something, but it's all technicalities. Now, I think I should wrap it up for news. Now we get to my favorite segment recently is our not game of the year section. And the reason we do this is, honestly, because we don't want to explain when we do pick a game of the year why 50 other games didn't win. So, Dane, do you want to start us off this week?
Sure. Yeah, go.
Oh, wait, was he asking me or you?
No, he was asking you because I thought he was asking me and then I realized it was you. Oh,
okay. okay. My game, not game of the year, is Crackdown 2.
Every time I think of that game, it makes me laugh because all they did is just make...
Somehow butcher the first one?
Well, no, it's the first one. Added more collectibles, and then they made the whole city darker, and it was like, here you go, new game.
Yeah, and they somehow made it worse.
For $60.
So.
Yeah, it could have really been done as an expansion pack or something. Like,
and I was actually...
It's the same city, it's just, like, covered in grass and slightly destroyed.
I can understand if it was the same city, but at least set it, like, 100 years in the future or something, so it actually looks different.
I don't even mind the idea behind it. It's just that it wasn't as tight and neatly crafted as the original. Because it would be kind of cool. Because I think St. Rose did the same thing where you kind of continued on and just kind of see what happened to the city in your absence. But, yeah.
It definitely feels rushed, but I don't know why they'd rush it. It's not like they couldn't...
It was rushed because...
Ruffian Games or whatever had like a year to make it.
Yeah, they had a year to make it. There was my main problem is that they didn't actually fix any of the issues with the first one, which were climbing, which was a pain in the ass half the time.
I think it's even worse than this one because like some of the times you can't even see what you can climb on.
Yeah,
and you just kind of go into free fall and you won't climb on any, you won't grab onto anything during your free fall.
They didn't they didn't fix the aiming.
Yeah.
It locks onto, like, you're pointing at this person that you just shoot, and it locks onto a car that's 20 feet away.
Yeah. They also, I don't know if this happened to either of you two, you know the ramp truck thing where you could, like, flying in the air?
Yeah.
Whenever I would do that, I would, like, hit the ground and get stuck in the map, and that happened to me in the sequel, like, the second one as well, three years later.
Nice. So maybe they really wanted to make it a sequel and keep all the bugs in from the original. It would have felt the same without it. Daniel, what is your not game of the year?
Black Ops, because obviously because of the aforementioned issues on PC, and because it's not anything new. It's not, I mean, yes, I bought it and I'm contemplating buying another copy, but it's not anything
really,
new. All it is Treyarch putting the game in a different era and basically mopping up all of Infinity Ward's mistakes.
Yeah, and I'm sure people are going to find mistakes.
I like it, but it's not Game of the Year.
Yeah. And I would just like to pimp out before I pick my not game of the year. We are doing a feature on the site, I hope, when I get a chance, where we're just going month by month for all the big releases in, you know, any given year.
I'm looking forward to what you put for June to September.
Yeah.
just to kind of remind people of the games that did come out this year, because there are a lot of games that come out, and some of them just...
There were a lot of games that I thought come out last year, but didn't. They came out this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Bayonetta.
Yeah, because Bayonetta was really, it's like January 5th. I mean, that's like right out of the gate. So, yeah, and I was doing this. I didn't even remember Army of Two came out this year.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I vaguely remember.
I literally put that. Like, I honestly didn't remember it coming out this year, and that's all you have to know about the game, because you know that's not going to win anything. Yeah, because I've done January and I'm going to do March.
Actually, so. I might feature Army of Two, although I didn't really play it. I played the demo, but I know I've got enough to talk about Army of Two 40th day for the not game of the year next week.
Yeah, like I said, honestly, if you can get a feel for a game from a demo, I know people say you can't always judge it, but usually if you really, really do not like a game, and another game that came out this year that I hated from the demo was Dark Void.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny because although... I thought that game, because I have that game.
I Why? Thought that
I didn't pay for it.
No.
although I thought that the game didn't do anything great, I still had fun playing it.
Yeah, it just looks like a mess. But again, I assume it's not going to win Game of the Year.
No.
And my pick is actually from January, and that is No More Heroes 2.
Which came out this year?
Yeah. Again, see, that's why I'm doing this, because it's a lot of games that come out.
Time goes past way too quick.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about games, movies, books, music, your own personal life, a year goes by really quick, and things just kind of zoom past
you. I don't even track books, I don't even track comics, I don't even track music, I don't even track movies. Like, oh, hey, this movie's out, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah, the thing is, you don't track them, but you see I'm just thinking of, like, somebody, I did the same thing with movies yesterday, and it's like... Some of these come out, and you're like, oh, yeah, you get bombarded with it, and then you just never hear about it
After
again.
After saying that, it's hard to believe that Kick-Ass and Scott Pilgrim came out in the same year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not that long ago. I mean, Kick-Ass is, what, 3 months old? And No, I should say Scott Pilgrim's 3 months old.
Yeah, yeah. Kick-Ass was May, right? I think.
It was in April. First week of April. Yeah. So, yeah. And again, this year for Ice Spy. So No More Heroes 2, while a side game, fun and enjoyable, I wouldn't even put it as my Wii game of the year. I don't know if I would put it as a top 5 Wii game this year. It didn't really leave a lasting impression with me. Like, I thought some of it was cool, but it just kind of missed any type of cohesiveness that the first one had. Even if the first one was kind of weird, I kind of liked the story and dug it. This one's just like battle to battle. You don't have any type of personalities for your boss battles. And I think they made the stuff in between the boss battles a bit more boring. Because you just fight a bunch of random characters and get a boss encounter. There's no real build-up anymore. So, just to recap for this week, our not Game of the Years are No More Heroes 2, Crackdown 2, and Call of Duty Black Ops.
I'm going to get lots of hate now, aren't I? I bet my K2D is better than yours. Shut up.
I was going to say, I don't know, again, this is all based on people I follow on Twitter and speak to. I don't know many people who are actually nominating Black Ops for Game of the Year.
That's because we talk to sane people.
The other thing is, and this is a point Jason brought up last week, is that, personally speaking, and I'm sure this is the same with everybody here, is that most people don't pick their Game of the Year based on the multiplayer.
Yeah, definitely not.
I pick it based on everything it has to offer.
Yeah, everything it has to offer. But you don't, like, you won't say, like, this game doesn't have multiplayer, so it's not going to be in contention. And I honestly feel at this point that Call of Duty brand is more multiplayer oriented than it is single player oriented.
Oh, it definitely is. The single player for Black Ops was, although it was good, I enjoyed it. It was a bit too scripted at times. Not to the point where it's Medal of Honor. But.
And if I think of Medal of Honor, I'm just thinking of the giant bomb quick, where he's like shooting the dude and nothing's happening with a sniper.
It is a bit scripted, and it requires you to be... I don't know if this was just me being bad, but there are points where you have to make a jump and you have to run. And I'm running towards a jump, and I will jump. And it's like, no, you fail. You didn't run. And I was like, hang on. I was running. It's really... really scripted, but like well, I said, not
there's
so.
Like a, there's a thing in Modern Warfare 2 when you're in Brazil or whatever, where you're supposed to run, and then you're supposed to jump to another roof, but you automatically fall, and like I clearly got onto the roof, and then like skipped me back and made me fall.
Oh yeah, but in this context, there's several points where you're supposed to make the jump,
oh.
And if you don't, you'll fall, like, because you're like on top of rooftops again, but you're in Hong Kong and you have to actually get across. But it would say you have to run and jump, and when you do this jump, it will go in slow mo and you get to like shoot people in slow mo, and it's all awesome. But there'll be times where it will force you down the hole, and you would like. And it will say, you need to sprint to make the jump. And I was like, and I just sat there and went, I was sprinting.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, I think it's classic Treyarch where Infinity Ward does all the presentation and stuff. And they polish it, but the gameplay is not as good. Whereas Treyarch has better gameplay, but not really polished.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that should give us a wrap. And again, I guess we should wrap this up with some business as usual. If you enjoy this podcast, if you actually listen to this podcast, please give us some reviews on iTunes.
Yeah.
You can find us at iTunes at Dual Wielding. I couldn't tell you how to actually do a review. I don't use iTunes. If any of you two gentlemen know and want to.
There should be, if you scroll down. There's a button that just says write a review, and you wanted to give us 5 stars as well because you love us.
And the second thing is, since we're counting down on that Game of the Year, we will be doing a podcast that picks our Game of the Year and some other categories which we're still working out on. But I wanted to open it up to our audience as well, and we have set up a voicemail at 347-470-6373. Once again, 347-470-NERD. And, just leave us a voicemail and, talk about your Game of the Year or your non-Game of the Year if you want to be included in that as well. And we'll try to input it into a podcast when we can. And we'd love to hear from you and your picks. So, thanks. And I guess for myself, Dylan, and Daniel, this has been Dual Wielding episode 12.
You actually remember this time.
It's on the Donkey Kong Country Returns Edition, so Nintendo doesn't sue us. And that should be the full title. So have a good day.
Bye, I'll be the same.
Here we go.
So the finally here. Performance for you. The words you can join in too. Put your hands together if you wanna clap. As we taste your groove, this monkey rap. He's the leader of the bunch. You know him well. He's finally back to kick some tail. His coconut gun can fire in spurts. If he shoots ya, it's gonna hurt.
places too. But preference beware.